Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Let's get something straight right from the start. For most passive investors in real estate syndications, passive losses generally only offset passive income, not W-2 wages. I'm CREI Colin, and this is Building Passive Income, where we give you the strategies to build real wealth through passive real estate investing. But today, we need to talk about an exception to that rule, real estate professional status, or REPS. This is one of the most misunderstood topics in real estate investing, and I see investors get it wrong all the time. So let me be very clear. REPS is not for most investors. It's an IRS exception with strict requirements, extensive documentation, and significant time commitments. Most passive investors do not qualify and should not try to qualify. But you need to understand what REPS is, why it exists, and whether it might make sense for your specific situation. Because if you misunderstand the rules, you increase your audit risk. And if challenged, the IRS can disallow it and assess tax, interest, and potentially penalties. Let's break it down. First, let's make sure we're all on the same page about the default rule, because this applies to the vast majority of syndication investors. When you invest in a real estate syndication, you receive depreciation and other deductions that create passive losses on your tax return. For example, you might invest $100,000 and receive $30,000 in passive losses in year one due to cost segregation. Here's the general rule. Those passive losses can only be used to offset passive income. Passive income includes cash flow from other real estate syndications, rental income from properties you own, income from limited partnerships or other passive business interests. Passive losses generally cannot be used to offset your W-2 salary or wages, self-employment income from your active business, interest, dividends, or capital gains from stocks. Those are portfolio income, not passive income. Now, there are a few limited exceptions, like the $25,000 rental real estate allowance for certain taxpayers who actively participate. But for many higher income investors, it's reduced or phased out. So if you're a doctor, lawyer, or executive making $400,000 a year in W-2 income, and you invest in syndications that generate $100,000 in passive losses, you generally cannot use those losses to reduce your W-2 taxable income. If you can't use the losses this year, they generally carry forward. When you have passive income, they can offset it. And if you fully sell your entire interest in that passive investment in a taxable sale, any suspended losses are generally released and can be used under the IRS rules. This is the default rule. This is how it works for almost every passive investor. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's still a powerful tax strategy. You're building passive loss carryforwards that will shield your future passive income from taxes. But let me say it again. For most passive investors, losses generally only offset passive income. Now, there is one exception to this rule. Real estate professional status. If you or your spouse qualifies as a real estate professional under IRS rules, you can reclassify your real estate activities as non-passive. And if your activities are non-passive, the losses can be used to offset your active income, including W-2 income or business income. This is a significant benefit. But here's the catch. The IRS has very strict requirements, and most people do not qualify. Let me repeat that. most people do not qualify for REPs. This is not a loophole. This is not a gray area. This is a well-defined IRS exception with bright line tests. And if you claim REPs without meeting the requirements, you increase your audit risk. And if challenged, the IRS can disallow it and assess tax, interest, and potentially penalties. So who does qualify? Let's break down the rules. To qualify for real estate professional status, you must pass two tests. Both must be met. If you only meet one, you don't qualify. Test 1. You must spend more than 750 hours per year in real property trades or businesses. Real property trades or businesses include things like property management and oversight, real estate development or construction management, real estate brokerage or sales, leasing and tenant placement. Notice what's not on that list. Passive investing in syndications. Reviewing syndication deals, attending webinars, reading PPMs, that does not count toward your 750 hours. You need to be actively involved in real estate operations, managing properties, developing projects, working as a broker. Passive investing does not qualify. Test 2. More than half of your total working hours for the year must be spent in real property trades or businesses. So if you work 2,000 hours per year total, at least 1,001 hours must be in real estate. If you work a full-time W-2 job, 2,000 hours per year, and you spend 750 hours on real estate, you fail test 2. Real estate is only 37% of your time, not more than half. This is where most people fail. If you work full-time in another field, you cannot qualify for REPs. It's mathematically impossible. So who can qualify? Typically, one of two scenarios. Scenario 1. You work full-time in real estate, as a broker, developer, property manager, or contractor. Real estate is your job. Scenario 2. Your spouse doesn't work full-time outside the home, and they dedicate the majority of their working time, more than 750 hours per year, to real estate activities. That's it. Those are the only realistic paths to REPs for most people. Let's be very specific about what counts as real estate activities for REPs, because the IRS is strict about this. Activities that count: property management, tenant communications, lease renewals, coordinating repairs, property inspections and maintenance oversight, marketing and leasing vacant units, real estate development or construction management, real estate brokerage or sales if you're licensed, bookkeeping and accounting for your rental properties. Activities that do not count: reviewing syndication deals or PPMs as a passive investor, attending passive investor webinars or educational events, reading real estate books or listening to podcasts, time spent researching markets or sponsors for passive investments, managing your stock portfolio or other non-real estate investments. The IRS wants to see active involvement in real property operations, not passive investing activities. So if you own rental properties and you're actively managing them, handling tenant calls, coordinating repairs, showing units, that counts. If you're flipping houses or developing properties, that counts. If you're a licensed real estate agent actively working deals, that counts. But if you're just a passive investor in syndications, that does not count. Here's the part that scares most people away from REPs, even if they technically qualify: documentation. The IRS does not take your word for it. If you claim REPs and you get challenged, which can happen if the numbers are significant, you need to prove that you met both tests. The gold standard is contemporaneous time logs. Reconstructing later is much harder to defend, so most REPs-focused CPAs will tell you to track as you go. Here's what strong documentation looks like: date and time of each activity, duration of each activity, detailed description of what you did, documentation that supports the activity, emails, invoices, receipts, photos. For example, January 5th, 2 hours, property inspection at 123 Main Street, coordinated with contractor on HVAC repair. Photos attached. January 8th, 1 hour. Reviewed lease applications for Maple Street property. Called references and documented results. January 12th, 3 hours. Attended property management training seminar. Certificate of completion attached. You need to do this consistently throughout the year. At the end of the year, you should have a detailed log showing well over 750 hours of real estate activities. You also need to track your total hours spent performing personal services across all trades or businesses for the year, because REPs requires real estate to be more than half of that total. If you don't have strong documentation, defending reps becomes very difficult. And let me be honest, most people are not willing to do this. It's tedious, time-consuming, and stressful. And if you get it wrong, you're facing potential challenges. Now, even if you qualify for reps, there's one more hurdle: material participation. Reps allows you to reclassify your real estate activities as non-passive. But to actually use the losses from a specific property or investment, you also need to materially participate in that property. The IRS has 7 tests for material participation. You only need to meet one. The most common are: Test 1. You participate in the activity for more than 500 hours during the year. Test 2. You participate in the activity for more than 100 hours during the year, and no one else participates more than you. So if you qualify for reps and you own 3 rental properties, you need to materially participate in each one to use the losses. If you only materially participate in 2, you can only use the losses from those 2. Here's the workaround. You can elect to aggregate all your rental real estate activities into a single activity. If you do this, you only need to materially participate in your rental activities as a whole, not in each individual property. This election is made on your tax return, and it's critical. Without it, material participation becomes much harder. But here's the key point. This only applies to properties you actively own and manage, not syndications you're passively invested in. Syndications remain passive investments, even if you have reps. So if reps doesn't apply to syndication investing, why are we talking about it? Because I want you to understand the rules so you don't get confused or misled. I've met investors who think that just because they invest in a lot of syndications, or because they spend a lot of time researching deals, they qualify for reps. They don't. I've met investors who think they can deduct syndication losses from their W-2 income without reps. They generally can't, unless they qualify for reps and they own rental properties or other active real estate investments. And I've met investors who think reps is easy to get. It's not. It requires a massive time commitment, meticulous documentation, and usually a complete career shift. So here's the bottom line. If you're a passive investor in syndications, your losses generally only offset passive income. That's the rule. And that's okay. You're still building tax-efficient wealth through passive loss carryforwards. If you or your spouse works full-time in real estate as a broker, property manager, developer, or landlord with multiple properties, reps might make sense. But you need to work with a CPA who specializes in reps, and you need to be prepared for extensive documentation and potential IRS scrutiny. For everyone else, focus on the default strategy. Build passive loss carryforwards, invest in multiple syndications to generate passive income, and use the losses to offset that income over time. That's the beautiful cycle we talked about in episode 15. All right, let's recap. Real estate professional status is an IRS exception that allows you to use real estate losses to offset active income. But it comes with strict requirements that most passive investors do not meet. Here's what you need to know. 1. The general rule is that passive losses only offset passive income. For most syndication investors, that's how it works, and that's still a powerful tax strategy. 2. To qualify for reps, you must spend more than 750 hours per year in real property trades or businesses, and that must be more than half your total working time across all trades or businesses. 3. Passive investing in syndications does not count toward your 750 hours. You need to be actively managing properties, developing projects, or working as a broker. 4. The gold standard for documentation is contemporaneous time logs. Reconstructing later is much harder to defend, so track as you go. 5. Even if you qualify for reps, you still need to materially participate in each property to use the losses, unless you elect to aggregate. 6. Reps is not for most investors. If you work a full-time W-2 job and invest passively in syndications, reps generally does not apply to you. Here's your action step. Don't try to force reps if you don't qualify. Instead, focus on building passive loss carryforwards and investing in syndications that generate passive income. Work with a real estate CPA who understands passive loss rules and can help you maximize your tax benefits within the rules. And as always, consult with your CPA, attorney, and financial advisor before making any investment or tax decisions. This is education, not advice. If you're ready to build a tax-efficient passive income portfolio, with or without reps, let's talk. Check the show notes for a link to schedule a call with us at CREIpartners.com. Next time on Building Passive Income, we're diving into the 1031 exchange, how to defer taxes when you exit a syndication investment. Until then, remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision. And it starts with understanding the rules. I'm CREI Colin. Let's build wealth together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.